throughout Europe, the fortunes of the Reformation depended in large part on its relations with the state. Where monarchies were relatively stable, as in England or Sweden, Protestantism could make strong headway, but it remained a persecuted small minority under staunchly Catholic rulers in the Spanish kingdoms, Portugal, and the Italian states. However, in states with weaker central control and stronger nobilities and cities, the Protestants were able, with the protection of these lesser powers, to gain a substantial foothold even without the conversion of the ruler, as in France, the Netherlands, Bohemia, Hungary, and Poland in the later 16th century. The unusual constitution of the German-speaking lands in the Holy Roman Empire placed it firmly alongside the second group. Between the emperor's authority and the ordinary nobles, townsfolk, and peasants was an additional layer of imperial princes, cities, and nobles who behaved as small states ruling their populations. Emperor Charles V, who was also both the ruler of the Spanish kingdoms traditionally loyal to the church and the acknowledged secular head of Christendom, could not be expected to support the undermining of its spiritual head, the papacy. Martin Luther was in the fortunate position of being able to turn instead to his own lord, Elector Frederick the Wise of Saxony. For many years, Frederick did not share Luther's religious views. Only just before his death in 1525 did he show a few signs of evangelical leanings. But, like Henry VIII of England, his primary concern was to build up the sovereignty of his state. From 1518, Frederick protected Luther, both his subject and a professor in the university, which he had founded at Wittenberg, against the foreign jurisdiction of church authorities right up to the papacy. Luther soon became aware of the importance of such support and of the need not merely to capture public opinion in the empire, but to work within the imperial legal framework. Charles V found the imperial diet, the parliament of the empire, less submissive than similar representative bodies in his lands in Spain and the Netherlands. In February 1521, he arrived at the Diet of Worms with a draft edict banning Luther's writings, which he wanted passed without further ado. But two of the seven electors who made up the first chamber, those of Saxony and the Palatinate, the latter, it was said, raged like a bull against the Pope, led several of the secular princes in the second chamber in calling for Luther to be given a safe conduct and a hearing at the Diet. These rulers hoped that Luther might be the harbinger of the long-expected reform within the church. Even so, the edict was eventually passed, but many princes did not sign the document, and like all imperial legislation, it depended on the princes and cities enforcing it in their localities, since the emperor had no means of doing so. With the exception of the Dukes of Bavaria and a few of the many prince-bishops, most procrastinated because of the difficulty of the task and avoided persecuting the Lutherans because they did not wish to arouse popular unrest nor antagonise those whom they hoped might yet bring about internal reform. As yet, a schism was not on the cards. These attitudes gave Luther and his clerical adherents a breathing space of a few years to gather support through the powerful media of print, preaching, and popular visual culture. At the same time, Charles V was distracted from German affairs by his other responsibilities into pursuing recurrent dynastic wars against the kings of France and meeting the threat from the Ottoman Turks, who in 1526 won sweeping victories in Hungary and nearly took Vienna. For most of the 1520s, the initiative for introducing evangelical churches lay with the 65 imperial cities, the great majority of which became Protestant within 20 years, and with a few of the towns ruled by princes which had a measure of autonomy. In major centres like Augsburg, Nuremberg and Strasbourg, most ruling councillors were sympathetic to reform but cautious about abandoning the Catholic Church for fear of antagonising the emperor and neighbouring Catholic princes and out of concern for their trade and the preservation of public order. Popular pressure pushed them further and faster on the road to Reformation. Whether Zwinglian or Lutheran teachings were adopted depended on local conditions, such as proximity to Switzerland and the theological leanings of the urban reformers, and only in small measure to the urban politics which divided ruling councils and their subject populations.